I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever wanted to put God on trial? Seriously, have you ever wanted to put God on trial? Have you been so pushed, so strained in your life circumstances that you question everything that God has ever promised you? We all carry around a lot of pain with us. We all carry tremendous burdens. And there come times when we doubt everything, times when we are pushed beyond our limit. And beyond that, even if you're not going through anything tough right now, we can look at our world and look at the events that are happening, and it feels as though there are just not enough resources to go around. We see countries at war, the wreckage of hurricanes, refugees who are homeless, children without support. It's really hard to look at all these situations and to feel God's got this. Have you ever wanted to demand some answers from God? Have you ever wanted to put God on trial? I'm a big fan of the TV show Law and Order. This is what I was doing last night, watching one of those incessant marathons that are always on. You just gotta watch one more. I like the early seasons, the ones with Adam Schiff and Jack McCoy and Lenny Briscoe. It's my preference. And if you've never seen the show, it's a sort of murder trial type lawyer show. And in it, there's this great desire for justice. Every single case, whether it's from a victim's family that's demanding it, or if it's coming from the district attorney's office that's trying to set up some kind of systemic change, wherever it comes from, that's the common theme in all the episodes, this great desire for justice. So you watch these stories unfold, these complicated stories about ordinary men and women who've messed up. And their crimes have caught up with them, and they have to take ownership of what they did. And the high point of every episode usually takes place in the last 5 minutes. It's when the truth is finally revealed. They're usually sitting around a conference table all talking, and the truth comes out, and the defendant has to come to terms with what they have done. Oh, it's so satisfying when that happens. Occasionally, they declare a mistrial or something, and that's when I want to take my TV and like throw it out the window because I don't get that resolution. It's so satisfying to tell a story of a great injustice and to put that right person to task. So that's what the Israelites were trying to do with God today. They wanted to put God on trial. They wanted the satisfaction of telling their great story of pain. They felt that they were the victims of a great injustice. God had led them to a place in the desert with no water. And furthermore, they weren't even sure that God was with them at all. Where it says in the text, they quarreled with Moses, they're arguing their case. The Hebrew words that are used here are ones of legal language. And the Israelites take this position for pretty good reason. They don't have water. They feel totally abandoned, and their basic needs are not met. A day without water in the desert, carrying all your possessions and wrangling your children and your livestock, a day without water was a day that ended in death. Really. So they had legitimate fear here. They'd left their homes in Egypt, left everything behind, and trusted that God would lead them into a safe, reliable future. And when that doesn't happen immediately, they believe that God is just gone. He's unaware of their needs, abandoning them to die in the wilderness. Let's talk for a second about wilderness and what wilderness does to a person. Let's talk about the psychological journey of the displaced person. Just imagine it. for whatever reason, you have to flee. You have to leave your home and leave behind everything that is familiar, everything that makes you, you, all of your possessions, your relationships, your livelihood, all of it. And you begin a journey to a place you've never been before. And more so, you're not even really sure you're ever going to get there because the experience of traveling is just so stressful. You have entered the wilderness. One scholar writes that in the Bible, wilderness stories are about being stuck between a promise and a fulfillment. And so wilderness is no longer a place, but a state of mind. What does wilderness look like for us? It can be a big life-changing event, something that happens to you, like losing your job, going through a move to a new town, or a dealing with a loss, like a divorce or a death or an estrangement. But it can also just be a season, a time of displacement from yourself and from everything you care about. Wilderness happens to us every time that we have to deal with the unknown, when we are in circumstances beyond our control. Wilderness messes with your head. It makes you believe things that you would never normally believe to be true. Wilderness can take a totally normal, emotionally sound person and turn them into a bitter, angry individual who communicates their needs by complaining. Makes you forget everything that's important. It's disorienting. It makes you think that you have no hope. So that's what's happening in Exodus. The Israelites are quickly forgetting what they left behind in Egypt, where they lived as slaves. They pretend like that life of slavery was easy compared to what they have to deal with in the wilderness. And it's almost as though they are experiencing a spiritual amnesia. So we too face spiritual amnesia when we face our wilderness. We forget. We forget where we've been, what we left behind to get to the place where we are, and more importantly, we forget that we are not God. And so the relationship with God becomes a little diminished. And we think that we can take that relationship, the relationship that's so sacred with our Creator, and we can just test it. That we can push God to do things that we want Him to. And Exodus teaches us that that kind of testing forever changes your relationship with God. It turns God into one whose value is only in what He produces for the people. This testing holds God hostage. It forces His hand, and this is blasphemy. God cannot be contained. God cannot be forced to do what we want Him to do. God cannot be reduced down to a point A to point B relationship with us. So this moment in Scripture is forever remembered as the day that the Israelites put God on trial. And they name the place. Anytime the Hebrew people name a place, it's pretty significant. And here they name it Massah and Meribah. And that doesn't mean miracle or water or new life. It means quarrel, test. This story is actually referred to several other times in the Bible. They bring it back up in Numbers and in the Psalms. It comes up when Jesus is tempted by the devil in the desert. This story is referenced as what not to do with God. It's a low moment for the Israelites to push God to this shallow place, to change the relationship of grace to one of transaction. It's pretty tempting for us to believe that God's love for us is transactional. It's so easy. We are all tempted from time to time in believing that if we follow God and we do all the right things, then we will get good things in return. And that is not how faith works. We don't get to decide what God's justice looks like. We don't get a God who does everything that we ask Him to. But what we do get is a God who shows up. God shows up. God shows up in big, powerful ways. So in this scene in Exodus, it's almost as though God responds to the Israelites by saying, "You want to put me on trial? Fine. Come and see what I will do to bring water to my people in the desert." And dramatically, in the very same place, incidentally, where God appears to Moses in the burning bush, that very same place, Moses strikes a rock and water gushes forth. God shows up. And God shows up for us too. This is true for us in our wilderness. God shows up. God shows up in big, powerful ways. God shows up in the experience of community here in St. Paul's, the presence of people who care for you, who will visit you and be with you when you're recovering from surgery, and who will provide places for you to wrestle with your faith. God shows up in the form of beauty that lifts our hearts, the beautiful choir that sings this morning, the organ that shakes the rafters. God shows up. God shows up in the Eucharist, the bread and the wine that equip us to go back out into our wilderness. And God shows up in your life, in the particulars of your life, in the struggle, the day-to-day events of your life. God is right there with you in your wilderness. So this lesson in Exodus teaches us not only that God shows up, but God shows up in the place of strife and makes that place holy. God was with the Israelites in the wilderness, and in all of his unsurpassable graciousness, even when they were jerks who complain all the time, God stays with them and is present with them. He opens up the powers of creation and provides for the people. And God walks with us too, even when we're unaware, even when we're jerks some of the time, even when we think that we've been abandoned. God shows up. God makes his presence known. And it seems that even the toughest of circumstances that we face, that happens to be the place where God's presence is made known the most richly. If you have ever wanted to put God on trial and ask, "Are you even with us or not?" I can tell you that that question will never be fully satisfied. Throughout your life, you will ask it again and again. You will always confront something new in your life that makes you doubt and wonder, is God among us or not? Is God among this? Is God among this? How about this? For example, 12 years ago, we were all asking, is God in New Orleans? And here we are today asking, is God in Puerto Rico? There will always be something else, and we have the problem of seeing our present circumstances as definitive. We too suffer from spiritual amnesia. We forget how God has cared for us in the past and continues to care for us now. And we have trouble seeing past the present need, the present crisis, the present hunger. It's really hard for us not to doubt. But God is always in the place of moving us from doubt to faith. Anywhere where that happens in the world, that's where God is, moving us from doubt and mistrust to a place of grace and new life. So then the question becomes, are we willing to let go of the idea that our relationship with God is transactional? Are we willing to let go of that? Can we simply trust that God's presence never leaves us? Because God cares for each of us and provides for what we need, and it simply takes looking at our past journeys to see how God has walked with us then. And it takes embracing the hope that God will provide again in the future, even if it doesn't look the same way it once did. God will give us everything that we need to be close to him and to experience his love. in all of his unfathomable grace, all his constant, ever-loving presence, God is with us whatever wilderness we face. God promises to always show up. Amen.